Investment flash.
Bonds are screaming. Stocks are dancing. Good morning. I'm Tom, and the long bond yield just hit a two-decade high. But the S&P 500 is 2% from a record. Who's right?
That is the question today. It's May 20th, New York edition. I'm Marie with Gerald and Tom. The bond market is shouting something that stocks are clearly not hearing.
Yeah, look, global long-dated yields haven't been this high since the financial crisis. And here's the kicker. David Zahn, who correctly called the gilt rout, is now ready to buy UK gilts at 6%. That's a proper contrarian call.
Wait, the same Zahn who saw the bond crash coming? Now he's stepping in? That tells me the short trade in TLT is getting crowded.
No, but that's exactly the tension. TLT hit a 52-week low. Shorts are piling in. But if yields snap back, the reversal could be violent.
To be fair, 6% on 10-year gilt still looks attractive if you think the sell-off overshot. Zahn's arguing that economic weakness will push yields lower. The man has receipts.
All right, but what about inflation? Energy tightness from the Iran war is adding fuel to higher-for-longer rates. That bond trade isn't risk-free, buddy.
Hold on. You're both missing something. Central banks have been completely silent. The Fed, the Bank of England, no one is pushing back against this yield spike. That's unusual.
Fair point. When the Bank of England stays quiet while gilts hit 6%, you have to wonder if they're comfortable letting the market do their tightening.
All right, then let's talk equities. Marie, BofA is out with bull capitulation, investors flooding out of cash into stocks. That's a classic sell signal.
Right. And FT Lex is pointing out the S&P 500 is dangerously concentrated in AI names, exactly when cash levels are at rock bottom. That's a fragile setup, Tom.
BofA has been calling tops since 2020. But I'll admit, the concentration in megacap AI is real. Low cash means fewer buyers left to push this higher.
Plus, the Lex column is basically saying hope is the only strategy. Investors are praying AI earnings grow into nosebleed multiples. I've seen this movie before.
Cisco in 2000? Yeah, I know. But Gerald, if bonds do rip higher, equities could surge. TLT shorts getting squeezed would send money back into risk assets.
See, this is why I'm not buying the simple bear story. The bond trade is consensus, and equities look priced for perfection. A reversal cuts both ways.
100%.
That's the whole dynamic. It's the convergence risk.
Okay, crypto. Bitcoin bounced back to 77,000 after the Senate curbed Trump's Iran war powers. Ether and XRP popped too. Short-term relief, right?
But JP Morgan says Ether and altcoins won't catch up to Bitcoin without a major network boom. DeFi dead, buddy. That's a structural headwind.
Yeah, the crypto space is split. A geopolitical tailwind versus JP Morgan's cold water on Ether. Direction is genuinely fuzzy here.
For real? Ether's on a short-term pop, but the fundamental case is weak. I'm watching this, not trading it.
Wise. Now, energy tightness. India is facing a 400,000 barrel per day LPG gap from the Iran war. And Brazil just said it's ready to ramp up crude exports to Japan. Supply is tight, no matter what.
USO is up 121% year to date, near 52-week highs. And Petrobras, directly benefiting from Brazil's push, trades at a forward PE of 5.4, Gerald.
5.4 is almost suspiciously cheap. But with oil at these levels, the cash flows are ridiculous. Even a value skeptic like me is tempted.
Hold on. I'm not saying it's not working right now. But oil is still in Iran war trade. One de-escalation headline and the bid evaporates. Momentum is high, but it's leveraged to geopolitics.
Fair, but until we get that headline, supply chain stress is real. India's LPG gap proves it's not just a financial trade. Physical markets are screaming.
And that crisis is pushing gold demand. GLD dipped last session, but safe haven flows aren't going away. The energy security backdrop is gasoline, pun intended.
I see what you did there. But look, gold is supposedly the fear trade. Yet with yields this high, gold should be tanking. It's only 37% above its low. I'd rather buy the dip cautiously.
Okay, a shift to semiconductors. Samsung's union is striking for 18 days starting tomorrow. Memory chip supply, already tight, could get body slammed. Micron popped 2.5% last session.
Samsung's stock has not priced this in at all. It's barely moved. If production actually halts, that's a direct earnings hit. And Micron, up 121% year-to-date, becomes the obvious beneficiary.
Tom, remember when you said semis were cooked in Q2? Now you're back on memory chips. That's six bottoms this cycle, right?
Oh, come on. I was early. But Mu's momentum is undeniable, and a strike-induced shortage only adds jet fuel.
To be fair, the strike could drag on, and supply rerouting takes time. It's not a one-day trade.
Speaking of supply and disruption, the IEA forecasts global EV and hybrid sales hitting 30% of the car market this year. Fuel prices and cheap batteries are accelerating the shift.
And Japan's auto industry is panicking. Nikkei Asia reports they're plotting a response to BYD because Toyota is way behind on EVs. TM is sitting near its 52-week low, down 15% year-to-date.
Exactly. BYD is the disruptor. That stock was one of our buy calls yesterday, and it's already moving with today's IEA news. Plus, Tesla, even with that crazy forward PE of 161, is the global leader.
Right, but NIO is up 12% year-to-date, and still off 28% from its high. The Chinese EV space has more room if this trend is real.
Totally.
Nailed it.
Spot on. The EV transition isn't a story anymore. It's sales data.
Now, a quieter theme. Japanese warehouses. Blackstone and ESR are buying logistics assets there. Companies are shedding warehouses under shareholder pressure, and Japan is seen as a political safe haven.
But Blackstone is down 28% year-to-date. Real estate deals take years to show up in earnings. Not exactly a catalyst I'm teasing, buddy.
It's a long-term play on Japan's property market. Steady, but not for today's action. I'd file it under watch.
All right, something with more spark. Lithium. Core Lithium restarted its Finniss mine in Australia because prices rebounded. LIT ETF is 11% below its 52-week high. Albemarle, 24% off peak.
The battery supply chain is waking up. When producers restart, it signals the commodity cycle is turning. I'd lean into ALB. The pullback makes the valuation cleaner.
Lithium is structurally growing, but it's still a commodity. Albemarle is trading off its peak, but if EV demand unlocks, it could run. I'm cautious, not bearish.
And then there's Indonesia. The Jakarta Composite is down 32% year-to-date at a 52-week low. FT Alphaville says policy confusion is the culprit.
IDX is flashing a warning for vulnerable EM currencies, and yet nobody's talking about it. EEM is up 14%, so the broad ETF doesn't reflect this stress.
When you see a 32% drop, you wonder if the risk is priced. But without policy clarity, catching that falling knife is scary. I'm watching, not buying.
So let's zoom out. The bond market is screaming regime change, end of cheap funding. Equities, sitting just 2% from record highs, are in denial. BofA and FT Lex both warn of fragility.
Right, but the bond short is crowded. TLT at a 52-week low. Shorts piled in. If yields snap back, dovish Fed, de-escalation, the reversal would lift equities and crush dollar longs.
And nobody's talking about central bank intervention. The RBA, BOE, Fed, all silent. History shows they step in when yields rise this fast. That's a wild card.
Exactly. So the cleanest expression of this tension isn't picking a side. It's long volatility.
Buying QQQ puts or a VIX spike could capture the repricing when one side breaks.
That's the trade.
Agreed.
Long vol. Simple.
And hey, Marie, your BYD buy from yesterday is up again with this IEA forecast. That call is running.
Thanks, Tom. The EV theme has legs. But Gerald's right. Toyota's weakness shows the market still rewards disruptors over legacy.
Analysts revising price targets after the fact is basically a free retirement plan. Boerfer's bull capitulation call is like a broken clock. Right twice a day, but you still need to look.
Fair enough.
Oh, that's brutal.
I mean, he's not wrong.
As always, none of this is investment advice, just us talking through signals. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for charts and sources.
We're back tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. London time. Until then, keep your eyes on the bond market, because when it breaks, everything else follows.